I think you just clap for Femi. You can clap for Jesus now. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. They clap for you. Thank God for wonderful testimonies. If there were no testimonies, people wouldn't know that there is a living God. Look at the Bible. Testimonies, testimonies, testimonies. The Lordship of Jesus Christ. I get overwhelmed. Reverend Olubiye talked about widows, especially. It happens to widows more than widowers. The system usually protects a man and puts the woman under subjugation. And like he said, if you're a Christian, you take your stance. I have counseled people sometimes, and the point is that sometimes they fear their fear more than they can hold on to the word of God. Are you following me now? When that happens, I let them do what they prefer to do. Because whatever your conscience does not permit, the word of God says, you do not do. Whatever you also do, you do according to the proportion of your faith. Are you with me? If you know that your faith does not handle it, if they tell you move out of the house, move out. Are you following me now? It is better to move out and live for the glory of God than to stay there and live in fear. And fear is a terrible weapon of the enemy. Once you are fearful, other things can begin to happen to you. Even where they have not yet done anything. Are you with me? Just because you are fearful, things can begin to happen to you where nobody has actually tried to bewitch you. So, when I counsel people, look, there are lawyers, if you have the guts, if you know that they are wrong and you are a child of God and there is nothing they can do to you, you can go to a lawyer, they have no right. Hallelujah. They have no right. You will have to take the properties. But if you're fearful, leave it for them. Let God bless you. There are wicked people around. You throw the woman out. I'm surprised that this one even says the house belongs to the children. In some cases, the woman and the children, they go. The uncles, they take over the properties. And then the woman is left alone to go and struggle with the children. Iniquity.
When
they
start to get the marriage,
they get the dowry. She's our daughter, they collect the dowry. That was a case here in the Lord some years ago, Papa will remember. A child of God died, medical doctor, sick, and he died. And we were not even sure what the relatives would do. But at the wake, I was to give the message. And I told them, we all sat down there. I said, all of you sitting down, the relatives of the man. I said, listen to me now. And it is the word of God. You better be careful how you try to torment this widow and this children. Because God is against you. God said, if you oppress the widow and the fatherless, he said, I will visit you and make your wife a widow. That is what the word of God says. He says, I will make your wife a widow and I will make your children fatherless. What do you think that God is? I was basically messaging and warned them. I said, you're hearing me now. I'm not afraid. Anybody who is careful should not do this job. Let me tell you the truth. After some time, the man was abroad. He had to come home and then he died. So they brought his goods home. And one of his brothers or uncle now came down to Eloni and came to the wife and said, I want to see his goods that have been brought home. And the woman sent a message to Papa. And Papa sent somebody to call me and call Professor Adeniyi. But I was teaching, I was then in the university. So Professor Adeniyi came. So Papa said, he should go to the woman's house and be there while the man was examining the goods. Then Professor Adeniyi came. And then the man said, okay, don't even worry, don't even worry. Duma said, hey, Woody. Duma said, you have come here to see, you will see. Come and see. So he looked and said, okay, okay. That was all. He left forever. Give Jesus a clap of. But I'm telling you, when the ministers minister the way they should minister, if anybody wants, go and carry the thing, so you will know that what the man of God said came by God. If you dare do it. I was a guest in town too. This lady, very young, was her husband. Somebody who should be helping her gave her a hard time. Somebody so close. You cannot believe it. I cannot do too much detail. At 1 year of her husband's death, she sent an email to me. I was in Ghana. She said, it will be 1 year and I want you to give the message at the anniversary. Will you be home? And I said, yes, I'll be home. And I came and I spoke to the fellow brother. The same way, but somehow by the Spirit of God. I would say to the people who sat there, I said, let me tell you, you men sitting there, a lot of men think that when a woman has lost her husband, the first thing that she wants is sex. I said, this woman is young, she's beautiful, there's nothing wrong about her getting married, but it has to be right. There may be other widows here. You are not looking for a sex partner. I want everybody to say, don't go and insult her. Don't add pain to her sorrow. So one day I went to her office. And she started to laugh. And she said, you know, after you finished ministry that day, there were two pastors there who had been making passes at her within 1 year of her husband's death. The first one came and said, well, it is bad what happened, but you know, you cannot go alone like this. You need to have a man. And he would volunteer to be the man. The second gave the same story. So she said, after we closed at the service, he said, they came to me one by one and they said, what did you do? You have told him. And she knew she never told me a thing. But so that the power of the Spirit of God may be known, and so that they may also think again, God gave them the message. If you want, go and think over it and repent and change. If you want, go and get angry at the pastor. That is your funeral. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mama Maria has something to say.
Hello.
Hallelujah.
Hey, Gosa. Hey, Kaka, Mama, you too. Put a calibre in me. Go out here for you. Nípa ọ̀rọ̀ àwọn olùkọ́ ìhọ́n gbogbo ìdílé ìyá ọkọ. Báwo ni sàtáàmì ṣe lè ṣètò tó ṣe pé a lè rí ẹrọ èèyàn kan tàbí méjì tí ó fọwọ́ sọ̀yà wípé ọkọ ọkọ tẹ̀yìn bá gbà lọ́wọ́ ìyàwó àtọmọ pé ẹ̀sẹ̀ ni tí wọ́n sì lè gba gbogbo ìtọ́ òfin kí ẹnì kan tó lè fi ẹ̀ sọ pé kò dá wọ́n sì tún wà sí ìlórí pé àwọn fẹ́ sọ ìyàwó lọ́pọ̀ gbogbo ọmọ inú ìkọ̀ọ̀kan ló wọ́n sì lọ sí chọ́ọ̀chì wọ́n gbọ́rọ̀ ọlọ́run ọ̀rọ̀ yẹn kò yé mẹ́fà ló jẹ́ kí wọ́n ní owó àjẹsà.
Kò yé mi náà. Now, she said, how come in the whole family setting, on the side of a husband who has died, nobody can stand up and say, it is not good to oppress this woman. It is not good to take the property from this woman. Leave this woman alone, help her, or whatever. Everybody gets quiet, they strip the woman almost naked. She said she didn't understand why nobody would stand up and say, I don't understand it too. The point is this. It means that they are all traditionists. Even if they go to church, they are not liberated in the spirit. Number two, some of them may be fine Christians who believe that it is wrong, but who are afraid, just like I have said now, but who are afraid. Are you with me? Okay. Somebody has another explanation?
I want to say that there is an answer. And as Christian, as we have been coming here every day and been sharing the word of God, this answer is for you to go and digest at home. 1 Timothy, I think it says 5 now.
If you just tell us what it says, that's okay.
He said, at the end time, the religious time shall come. The verse 5 of it is what, where the answer is. These are the people, they go to church, they have whatever you say, and you think this, you want to say, you want to think that they have the fear of God. They know the power of God, but they refuse to acknowledge, allow it to work. That is the reason why the whole lot of them, they cannot be able to.
Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So let us go back to Jubilee. Now, I said on Tuesday that we are about through with Old Testament Jubilee. So today I think we're going to take the last teaching on Jubilee as it was under the Old Testament. Then we will next week go into Jubilee as it is now. Hallelujah. Because like we said, things of the Old Testament were supposed to be shadows of the better things to come. We will begin with the better kind of Jubilee. So before I go to the final letter, let us first look at the facts of Old Testament Jubilee. The facts of Old Testament Jubilee. One, Old Testament Jubilee sets the land free to be returned to the owner. Sets most bonded of purchased properties free. Releases the slaves to return to their families. The period lasts for 1 year. During that 1 year, nobody released can return into bondage during that 1 year. After that 1 year, people and materials begin to return to bondage. After that 1 year, you can sell your land again. Your land can be given as collateral for a loan, or your house. You can borrow and send your son in to replace the money until you pay off. That's been bonded. That was done. Once that year is over, things begin to happen again. Only for people to anticipate the next jubilee. The release was only internal. Jubilee was an internal ceremony, an internal ordinance. It was for the children of Israel. Other nations did not have to observe it. They were not required to observe it. It was for God's people. And so you will see that the children of Israel were carried into captivity. When their year of Jubilee arrives, those who carried them into captivity don't have to release them. Are you following me now? They were not bound by that law. So Judah was in Babylon for 70 years. They did not release them after 50 years. And they could have been in bondage for more than that. And they will not be released because they don't recognize their jubilee. You will see the reason later. Hallelujah. Now, it was possible for you to eventually be released from external bondage. God can break the grip of external bondage as he did many times with the nation of Israel. When such bondage is broken, it may not be on the day of Jubilee as specified by the Lord. Do you follow me now? Okay. Because the people will rejoice, they will jubilate. English only, not the real ordinance. Remember by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat, yea, we wept. When we remember Zion, when you are in bondage, you are in sorrow. You are in sorrow. But then it comes the day when you rejoice. And people will look at you, they will say, oh, their God has done something marvelous for them. And if they have gone sowing in tears, they will now return with joy, reaping what they have sowed with tears. If you have sowed good seed, precious seed, with tears, you will reap the precious fruit. If you have sown as not unto the Lord, nonsense, and you sowed evil seed, when it is time to harvest, you will harvest what you have sown. So the Apostle Paul said, servants, do not do eye service. Serve your masters as if you were serving God. Are you with me now? Praise the Lord. Amen. So let's go on. Now, go to Nehemiah 5. Nehemiah 5, somebody open. And I want to read through this whole passage from 1 to 19. I want to read from 1 to 19. Nehemiah 5, from 1 to 19. Let me just read. And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. For there were that said, we, our sons and our daughters, are many. Therefore we take up corn for them, that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our land, vineyards and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, that is the king of Babylon, and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants. and some of our daughters are brought unto bondage already, neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards. And says Nehemiah, and I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, ye exact usury, every one of his brother. And I set a great assembly against them. And I said unto them, we after our ability have redeemed our brethren the Jews, which was sold unto the heathen. And will ye even sell your brethren? Or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace and found nothing to answer. Also I said, it is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God, because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? I likewise, and my brethren, and my servants, might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury. Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their oliveyards, and their houses, also the hundredth part of the money, and of the corn, the wine, and the oil, that ye exact of them. Then said they, we will restore them, and will require nothing of them. So will we do as thou sayest. Then I called the priests, and took an oath of them, that they should do according to this promise. Also I shook my lap, and said, so God shake out every man from his house, and from his labor, that performeth not this promise, even thus be he shaken out and emptied. And all the congregation said, amen, and praised the Lord, and the people did according to this promise. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 28th year, even unto the 230th year of Artaxerxes the king, that is, 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, and have taken of them bread and wine, beside 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants were rule over the people. But so did not I, because of the fear of God. Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, besides those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. Now, that which was prepared for me daily was one ox and six choice sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me, and once in 10 days store of all sorts of wine. Yet for all this required not I the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon this people. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, Nehemiah is the story of how the people started to return from bondage home. Are you with me? And see what happened. The external bondage was breaking, right? But inside Judah was a tough internal bondage. And who are the people that put the others in bondage? The rich people. The nobles, the rich people. No mercy to the poor. They were loaning money to them and taking their children to come and be servants. And when there is no money, they have to pay the king's tribute. So they will go and borrow money from the rich ones to pay the tribute, and the rich ones will take their land. No mercy. No love. Oppression. And the people cried out. But God had raised Nehemiah, a man who had the fear of God in him. And he did not call a counsel to advise him. He said, I did what? I give myself counsel. Hallelujah. There are times when you shut up your advisors. God has spoken to you. Don't call any man anymore. Go and act. I have a tendency to do that. When the Lord has spoken to me, I have a way of not asking people anymore. And believe me, I have done it at times when the instruction looks dangerous. Hallelujah. The instruction looks dangerous. And if I devolve your own life, and I won't ask you, I'll just carry you into it. Praise the Lord. Sister Mary is not here. As I was preparing to leave Ghana and return to Nigeria, we had a crusade in Ghana. Papa came, Sister Mary, Papa O.P., my Lord came, Mrs. Awoni, the team from here. I brought them to Ghana. We had 3 days crusade in Ghana, and then we'll return. In Lagos, some of us stopped, but I would proceed to Ibadan. And I had with me in the car Sister Mary and her brother John, who was coming to Nigeria for the first time. And it was a time of petroleum scarcity. And on Oroshoke Expressway at night, we ran out of petrol. Hallelujah. Something else was happening concurrently. A few days before the crusade, the red light of the alternator of my car came on. When that light comes on, you don't have much time. Your car will soon stop because it means that your battery is not charging. But I didn't have time to attend to it because of preparations for the crusade. I left it on. The next morning after the crusade, we set out for Nigeria. The light was on. I was just coming. We got to Lagos by 6:37, checked at the border, came in. By the time that we got to Oroshoke Expressway, it was dark. We ran out of petrol. So I took a jerrycan, I took an Okada. I said, they usually know where there is petrol. So I took, please, I need petrol, take me somewhere. Then he took me somewhere. I bought some, he brought me back, I put it in the car. And then we had to turn back, go to Korodu Road, start looking for petrol at night. There's a total petrol station on the Korodu Road. There we found a lot of vehicles. They were selling petrol. So I pulled in. As soon as we got there, somebody just came to us. And I know about the Spirit of God. He said, I don't remember how much he said. He said, you'll give me so much and I'll buy petrol for you. I said, go ahead. And he said, come. And I moved. He said, come this way, come this way, come this way, come this way. And he took me to a pump. How much? I said, fill up my tank. And he filled it up. And I gave him the money. And we drove out. Hallelujah. If you want to clap, clap. Now, there were two problems. The red light was on. If you are still driving in the daytime, you are better off. When you put on the headlights, you may have 10 to 15 minutes. By the time that we finished buying the fuel, it was about 10 o'clock to 10:30 at night. Then we discussed, do we head for Ibadan or do we sleep in Lagos? It is dark and that highway, you all know the Lagos-Ibadan Expressway. It is bad enough in the afternoon, much worse at night because of armed robbers on the highway. As we discussed it, it just occurred to me, you need the counsel of the Lord. And I just kept quiet. I didn't talk. He said, when you want to hear God, he knows that you want to hear him. I just kept quiet. And the Lord just said to me, let us go on. Let us go on. And I didn't tell Mary and John anything anymore. I just drove. I just made a U-turn. I just headed for the highway. Zoom all the way to Ibadan. That beetle was like the only vehicle on the road. We were just going, zoom. I started to joke with Mary. I said, wow, this light is red. Not the other little light. I said, wow, this light is red. We just went on, we just went on. By 12 midnight, we arrived at our house in Ibadan. Did This was a good clap offering. Hallelujah. And one of them did ask me, are you growing? They just kept quiet. And I just went on. The next morning, you know that the most logical thing to do, or the wisest thing to do, would be to now drive to an auto electrician and say, let us resolve. Thank God he brought us here. Let us now resolve this problem. So the next morning, we prepared to proceed to a lorry. We dressed up. Everybody got in. I sat down. And God said, let us go on. I started once, zoom, and I headed by lorry. All the way, we all lived in the quarters at that time. We got a lorry, I drove Sister Mary to the quarter, I dropped her, I started to return to my own. My quarter was G12 on the way to when you're coming towards the gate, you know, the bungalows. That's a big black tank. After that black tank, you are descending all the way to the gate. In the days of petrol scarcity, I would turn off my engine and your car would drift all the way to the gate. I'll get a free ride. I dropped Sister Mary. I was returning. I got to the black tank. There were boys playing soccer on the fields there. And the car stopped. And I tried to start. There was no juice. And I caught the boys. I said, push this car for me a little. And they pushed it. When it started to roll on its own, I just rolled it down and turned into my house and parked at my doorstep. Give Jesus a big clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The next morning I woke up, I went there. Nothing. So I put another battery, took that one to the battery charger. He tested it. He said, oh, God, this is not a battery. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. God is awesome. God was alone. I carried you here. It is not your battery. I carried you here. That is God. My God is awesome. Glory to God. Nehemiah said, I did not consult with any man. It was all within me. The Spirit of God. I was sure what I was going to do. I didn't need any more advice. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It happened again when I was in Ghana. I think I told that story here before, that testimony. Dr. Chino Adeniyi, the wife of the younger brother of Professor Adeniyi, who died in an accident, or both in the accident, he died immediately. The wife survived, was in coma for some time, and she has been on wheelchair since then. It's been quite some time now. But she is getting up now. She is walking now. She's back to work. Glory to God. But when I was in Ghana, quite a number of people, my friends, either had come to spend time with me or they came to do something or whatever. She had to take care of some things in Ghana as pertaining to their medical association. So she went with me to Ghana. We got to Cape Coast. Cape Coast is about 2 hours drive, I think, to Accra. So she would go back to Accra to sort out her papers and return to Cape Coast. And when she was leaving, she said, I will try to be back today, latest tomorrow. So she went. Today went by, we did not see her, no sweat. Tomorrow went by, we did not see her. What is going on? And it was not the time when everybody carried a handset, although there were a few handsets already operating in Ghana. Then the other day came after that, we did not see her. You get more worried. Now, to make things worse, the devil sent information to us. Oh, there was an accident on the way to Accra last Monday. That was the day she traveled. And a lot of people died. Problem. Problem. Then, the day that followed, we said, listen, we have to go to Accra. We have to go look for her. That was Dr. Akobe, who had an idea of it. She went to because he's also a medical doctor. Dr. Hody called the office to ask. To make things worse, the person who was at there said, we have not seen anybody from Nigeria this week. That's it. Concluded. So we got in the medical. She was a Living Faith member, so we will go to Living Faith Church because they knew the pastor would want to find out. Okay. Four of us, myself, Dr. Awuleye Na Oluleye, Dr. Akobe, and one young man who used to interpret for me, Felix Agania. So we set out to go to Accra. As we got to the outskirts of Cape Coast, it occurred to me, and I told them, I said, wait a minute. I said, we have put all of our facts together, we have drawn conclusions, and we're going to Accra. I said, we didn't ask the Lord. Then I inclined to the Lord, and he spoke to me. I'm talking about clear voice, not just speaking to my heart. Clear voice. You have no reason whatsoever to go to Accra. I didn't tell them anything yet. I just pulled out of the highway. I just made a U-turn. And I returned towards Cape Coast. And they didn't ask me, are you going back? But I said to them, we have no reason whatsoever to go to Accra. And I drove back home, went to my house, I packed, I went into the room, took off my shirt, whatever, and I just laid on my bed to rest. 10 minutes, she just walked in. Jesus is in that office. Hallelujah. Tina just walked in, and she said, thank God. I have been praying to God that you people will not come looking for me. God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. Tell the one who's sitting to your right, listen to the Holy Spirit. He will direct your steps. Turn to the left, listen to the Holy Spirit. He will direct your steps. And when you hear his voice, be sure to do it. Amen. The Lord is good. So the emperor called the people and told the nobles, some of us, we don't like to talk hard to rich people. The reason is that we are hoping that we can also get some money out of them. Hallelujah. A lot of ministers have so much respect for money. Every minister wants to stand in the presence of the governor. The presence of the president, when God is not even sending you there, you just want his favor. Someday. Some years ago, there was a young man in our prayer ministry, gifted. He saw visions very well. He was in the cult. He was in prison. And through our prison ministry, he gave his life to Christ. So when he was coming out of prison, he alerted us the day that he would get out of prison, and he said he wanted us to come. The people of his cult would also want to come and receive him. But he gave them a different date and gave us the right date. He said, I want to be after them. I have given them the wrong date. Let them come and not find me. So he got there and we took him and put him in the house for deacon in the church. At that time we were at Zion. And we started to help him out. All of his little paraphernalia from the cult, the things they tied for him, we took them, unwound them, looked at what was inside. He told us what was inside, and when we opened them, it was correct. And we burnt them with fire. And they had told him if he should destroy that thing or not return to them if he left the cult, he would die. And you know what? He got sick, he nearly died. Because God would let us know that it was true. Not because they were anything, but God would let us know what he was into was true. He got sick, he nearly died, but then he recovered. And then he became a part of the prime ministry, and he had the gifts, he prayed, let me tell you, he was a high school kid, by age he shouldn't be, but because he had not been in school, he went back to high school. Mary and Babangida would send for him. At that time, Babangida was in power, I'm not kidding you. They will send Supreme Headquarters one to come and pick him in the lorry. I'm not kidding. Hallelujah. They sent other people to come and pick him. They took him before the Supreme Military Council. I am not kidding you. Because these unbelievers, they look for prophets. They want to pick somebody who will prophesy peace to them where there is no peace. Where there is no peace. But then, because he was not really mature. Go somewhere, be there. Fool me. Yeah. Thank you very much. She gave me very willingly, I'll give it. Praise the Lord. Please turn off your handsets. Turn off your telephone. It is ringing again. Hallelujah. So because he was not really mature, he started to stumble. He had a room at Taiwo area there, just on Taiwo. People would come to be prayed for, they would come to be prayed for. And everybody in the prayer ministry had a gift. We knew each other's gifts. It was a strong prayer ministry. People came from all over. Letters came from abroad. I mean, in a Baptist church. She was turning it off. Praise the Lord. So one day we got information that this young man was committing adultery with one possessed girl. So we went to him. Tell us, plain language, you're a Christian. Is this true that you are committing fornication with this girl? And he said, I stand before the Lord, it is not true. And we said, no more kiss. Father, let your hand be upon your son. Bam, bam, bam. And we left. Hallelujah. Amen. 2 weeks later, he confessed that he was doing it. We did not do anything wrong to believe his word. Some of us don't get it. Love believing all things. If you have no proof, you follow me now. If you have no proof, love believes all things. If you have proof, you don't believe an obvious lie. Are you with me now? Hallelujah. Now, this young man one day, there was a governor, I think Kazim, Governor Kazim here. Okay. He knew me very well. He used to go there, pray with him. He thought of them like that. One day I was going with my ladder, my old ladder there. Go, 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 go. Right in front of the governor's lodge, I met him coming on the cycle. They gave him a motorcycle. They were buying things for him. Give him good wristwatches. He met me right there and went, excuse me, sir, he made a U-turn and came. He said, bring to the governor, come. I said, don't you didn't send me to the governor. Why must I follow you? If God has given you a message for the governor, you go to the governor. Me, I'm going my way. Hallelujah. If God didn't send me, if I go, what am I going to tell him? God says the Lord. God didn't say anything to me. Hallelujah. So I went my way. Eventually, he had a quarrel with this governor. This governor has been locked up for some time. I'm so busy. Are you with me? If God is not sending you to somebody, why must you go? For popularity, for money. But you will be in bondage. You're talking about liberty. How can you hold yourself in bondage to anybody? As a child of God, there are people that I can go to and beg for money. God forbid. I will write to God. You follow my point? And when he is ready, he will send somebody. I love to see that. Do you follow me now? It makes me feel very good. They put their brothers and sisters in bondage, exacted on them. But thank God, Nehemiah said, I knew what the governors before me were doing. And I could have done the same thing. We don't have the potential to want to do it. He said, but I feared God. I feared God. The burden on these people was too much. Pity. My next subtitle, I said implications for Nigeria. Now let us look at Nigeria in the light of this. Are you with me now?
Yes.
That Nigeria's real jubilee was October the 1st, 1960. Are you following me?
Yes.
That was, and if you look back, those who were alive there, if you remember the jubilation at that time, we have not had another one like it since then.
Yes.
So, what you saw as Jubilee at that time started to diminish from year to year until this one, when on Jubilee Day, it was bomb explosion. But why is that happening? God set us free from external bondage. Immediately, we were handed over to people who will keep us bound internally. And they have been very difficult taskmasters. There's no pity. They don't serve the people. They don't pity the people. They don't see the poverty of the people in a rich land. A land that is so blessed by God to put it flowing with milk and honey. Blessed with material resources as well as human resources. They're too blind to see it. The money that should be used for the good of the land, they cut away to foreign countries to go and keep. A man will steal so much money that all his lifetime he cannot finish spending it. His children cannot finish spending it. And he will leave his neighbor in poverty. He will want to come and see his neighbor. NEPA goes up. The electricity which they ought to have made good will go up. And the man is happy. In my own house, there was a generator. May God raise for us somebody like Nehemiah. Yeah. Who will know what the politicians before him have done? And who will refuse to do such things for the fear of God? A man who will not care if they don't re-elect him, but who is the Lord? You have given me 4 years. These 4 years, give me the grace to serve you fearlessly. Give me the grace to serve you fearlessly. These people are suffering. These Nigerians are suffering. Give me the grace to alleviate their suffering so that you may be glorified. I don't care if you collect your benefits. I'm not quarreling with benefits, but I do quarrel with one thing in this country. And let me tell you, we the Nigerian people, we permit a lot of nonsense. Your senators will sit down and fix their own income. And then they will sit down and review it. Your lawmakers are the highest paid in the whole world. And your people are among the poorest. These are wicked people. Very wicked people. So what is legitimate? It is still legitimate because the law permits it. But the law is a wicked law. The book of Psalms. Anybody? Who makes a decree for mischief will not have fellowship with God. Are you with me now? The decree becomes the law. But if you make it for mischief, he says you will not have fellowship with God. Jubilee. Thank God we have bread and have bread. Eventually, I will tell you, some yokes are breaking. Are you following my point? Like I said the other day, when God is going to deliver a land, you don't know the process that God is going to use. Some things may get tougher before they get better. You follow me? But some yokes are breaking. We will see it later on. And let me tell you this. It is not just the unbelievers that have contributed to the ills of this country. Many people who are called Christians, who are called by the name of God, have contributed to it. Hallelujah. Amen. May the Lord deliver us finally.
Amen.
It's 11 o'clock. I will take 3 questions or comments. And then we'll close. Yes. Anybody? Nobody? Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Sorry if I got you right.
Yeah.
Did you say after 1 year, the land can be resold? Is it by the person who originally owned?
Of course, the land has returned to the original owner. So the only one who can sell it is the original owner.
Then the slave can be resold if he or she...
If you go to borrow again, you may want to send your child into bondage.
But within 1 year, this cannot be done. I mean, before...
During the year of Jubilee, everybody is back where they belong. And everything is back where it belongs. During the year of Jubilee.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's give Jesus a good clap of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Let us pray.
The is something about freedom I
yes.
just want to say. If freedom is not an absolute thing. And many times we tend to see it as something absolute. So because of that, we have a lot of problem with that. Freedom is basically a relative thing. It is relative. There's no absolute freedom anywhere. There's what we call the rule of the tongue. Now, it now says the rule of the tongue requires a people to strengthen and retain their freedom by fighting for it daily, winning it daily, and guarding it daily. So, if freedom is to be fought for daily, to be won over daily, and to be guarded over daily, that means it's not absolute, it is relative. Now, if we say we have freedom, and we say there is jubilee, and we're supposed to keep fighting for it daily, winning it over daily, and guarding it daily, and we are not doing like that, then how do we get freedom? How do we really become free when freedom is not absolute? That is the question I want to ask.
Okay. Somebody, okay.
Good luck, Jonathan. He has experienced so much. He has worked with many calibers of people. He has seen people suffering before he got to this where he is today. But I was a little bit surprised and sad when he bought two aircraft at an exorbitant price. Is it not treading on the same road or path of those who have left? Or what do we hope to get from him? If he wins, or even before now, between now and then.
Okay, I told you I'm going to respond to this question, but you asked another question. His question is freedom absolute? Is it absolute? It depends on how you look at it. When we begin to talk about freedom under the new covenant, then we can put a question mark. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Is that absolute or is it in half? That is absolute. It all depends on where you are standing. Let us go gradually. Hallelujah. Your question now about the aircrafts. I did not even work. I don't care Nigeria is very much. Is this? He just got two new aircrafts. But a long time.
Not too long, a few months ago.
Now let me tell you this one. If I were the president of this country, I might have need for two aircrafts. Are you following me? By the very Spirit of God in me. Simple truth. I might have need for two aircrafts. Not because I will use two at the same time, but because if something goes wrong with one, my work as head of state may require that I travel anytime. Shall I go and book the ticket and go to Ikeja and then queue on the line? Are you following me now? And will the airline adjust their movements to my schedule? Are you following me? The cost of two aircraft in this country is nothing. Nothing. No big deal. If they are officially needed, no big deal. Ask me about pastors who are competing on jet planes. Do you follow me now? I think there we have a better question. But that depends again on how you determine your ministry and your needs for movement. I don't want to judge anybody. Yes, sir.
Sorry, I just want to add a comment.
Yes.
Those two aircraft,
Yes.
For the presidential plea.
Yes.
And they say the speaker, the president of the Senate.
Yes.
You know, they have access to.
They will have access. Yes.
So, you know, just as you have said, I mean, if he really needs to, and not far before them, I think he went somewhere to East Africa.
Okay.
And they had to abort the aircraft.
Okay.
Because it was having some
problems.
So I believe, and even the buying was already, you know, on. They already approved it during the passenger time.
Okay.
For just the process.
Okay.
No, you may not answer your question, but that is
true. Hey, don't say, if it is not by now, excuse me, you know that here, everybody has the liberty to express their, you don't have to accept what we say, you don't have to. But I'm sure that officially, two aircraft for Nigeria will not be a luxury. Yes, sir.
Talking about the aircraft.
Yes, sir.
It was Shagari who bought the aircraft. And the next one that we were going to buy was by Obasanjo.
Okay.
He didn't get to buy it because he didn't get through the process.
Okay.
So that is how it came about now.
Okay.
So it isn't Jonathan who bought the aircraft.
Okay.
The aircraft were already ordered,
but
just delivered now.
Okay. And even if he had ordered them, as a necessity, there is nothing wrong about it.
Well, start behind your back.
Yes, sir.
But this, like you said, two aircrafts. In a country where we have 150 million, what's that? I mean, even what each one of the private people who are owning airplanes, what advantage are they accruing to the nation? The way ability to move. When he wants to move as a president, is prepared. But I think even if you were to buy 10, with the way things are, okay. I mean the old ones that were there, we don't know the state of disuse they were.
Of course.
Number two, if I were he, I probably would not even want to touch any of those ones.
Yes.
Yes, I mean, if I were here.
Yeah.
So I don't think we should, unless we have a reason to think that he should be on the same level as everybody else, which would be stupid of us.
Okay.
It would be very stupid. He has real great risks that he's taking.
Of course.
And because of that, ability to be able to move from Ilorin and get to Accra when he wants to get there,
yes,
or move from Accra and get to Dakar when he wants to get there, should be one of the of our priorities.
Of course.
Make sure he gets to where he wants to get.
Even moving from Abuja to Lagos,
sure.
Lagos to Port Harcourt, what is he going to do? Drive? No. But one of the things he said when he came was that all roads have to be put right. So it's not as if he does not have, it is not until he drives on this road before he knows what is wrong. No, he knows. So let's put everything where they belong. I'm not a politician. I don't know if I'll vote for him. If God says, I will. But right now, I don't know. If nobody else comes up, I think I'm convinced I should be voting for him. Yes. Okay.
You have scratched the... So I wanted to ask We do all our work here, praying, spiritual work here, for Nigeria to be better, which is the bigger work here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Things are one in the spiritual realm. But we have to be physical too, which we'll see, you know, things we can do. So I was just wondering, you know, if we are spiritually supporting that God should give us a good leader after his own heart, and we are now seeing a ray of light through, you know, Jonathan, what can we do physically to support him? I'm not saying that he should be a campaign manager, but I mean, this is a powerful, you know, forum.
Mobilize
ourselves. Okay.
Spiritually. So,
I think
physical things can we
get?
Mobilize.
You said spiritually. Physically. What can we do physically?
Yes.
Well, if you have already made up your mind, you can go and campaign for him or whatever.
I pray
that God will show us the man after the heart, after his heart.
Yes.
Before election day, and then we'll go and vote. Are you following me now? Okay. Pray, if you want to do anything to help Nigeria, keep praying that God's will be made perfect. That is all. And be attentive to God. Know how he wants you to vote. Let me tell you the truth. If all Christians go and pray and fast for 30 days, and say everybody go and vote as God has told you, we will not all vote for one man. I could believe all of it. So what you are convinced that God is asking you to do, that is what you do. Okay. Let us pray now. Let us pray. Most righteous Father, we thank you for what we have shared today. Thank you because by Jesus Christ you set us free. And we know that we are free indeed. And we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Father, accept our thanks in the name of Jesus. Is there somebody here who says, I want to give my life to Jesus? Will you raise up your hand? Anybody? Anybody? You know that you're not born again. Maybe you go to church, but you know that you're not born again. I want to pray with you before I sit down. Father, thank you, Lord, as we continue with our ministrations for today. We know that you will be glorified. Jesus will be glorified because your Holy Spirit is in control. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.